أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد، بارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد، بارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد، بارك وسلم. ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمن بالخير. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربي زدني علما، ربي زدني علما، ربي زدني علما، يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح. الحمد لله. So as we all know, we have entered into the last 10 days of Ramadan, which seems unbelievable. And today was the 19th day, so today is the 20th night. And just to remind ourselves before we start, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to strive more in worship during Ramadan than he strove in any other time of the year. And he would devote himself more in the worship of Allah in the last 10 nights of Ramadan than he strove in the earlier parts of the month. So alhamdulillah, if you feel that you haven't had the opportunity to do as much as you wanted to in the first 20 days, then inshallah, this is your time to shine. There's another hadith of Aisha radhiyallahu anha that when the last 10 nights of Ramadan would begin, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would keep awake at night for prayer and devotion, awaken his family and prepare himself to be more diligent in worship. And this is from Bukhari and Muslim. So alhamdulillah, I'm really happy that I have so many members of my family here with me and that we're all doing this together. And that all of you, even if you're not my direct relatives, you're all my family, alhamdulillah. So really, really, really happy to be together. And this book that I've chosen to do is from Imam al-Ghazali's Ihya al-Din. It is the 20th book of the series. So those of you who are studying, or whose children rather are studying the Ghazali books, will know that there are a number of Ghazali books. There are 40 books in the Ihya al-Din. And with the children, we have translated books 1 to 7. So this book is 20, and it is the middle book, or the central book of the whole Ihya. And what that means is that Imam al-Ghazali felt that this was the core, this was the core of the whole thing. Almost you could say of the whole religion. And therefore he put it at the heart of his encyclopedia of Islam. So Ihya al-Din means revival of religious sciences. And this is what Imam Ghazali was trying to do. So this book is actually called Kitab Adab al-Ma'isha wa al-Akhlaq al-Nabuwa, which means the book of prophetic ethics and courtesies of living. So basically what that means is it's the book of the beautiful character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how he showed the best manners in the way that he lived. So as Afrina so rightly mentioned on the group messages, these books can be really hard to digest because of the level of language, because of course Imam al-Ghazali was speaking to scholars. So the book, as has been translated, is still translated in a much easier way that most of us can understand. However, I have gone further and translated it, or if you like, have rewritten the chapters in very simple English, which hopefully will then go on to become part of the book for children later on. And so you can feel happy, inshallah, that nothing that we'll be talking about will be in highbrow language, that will be very easy to understand, inshallah. And so I will go through, we'll try and do the introduction in chapter one, which is a lot to do, as you can imagine, in, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes. But I also don't want to overwhelm you with too much information, but I think, inshallah, all of this is basically Quran and Hadith. So anything that we glean from it will be of huge value to us, inshallah. So I'm not reading the text of the book itself. I'm reading what I have translated from the text, okay? So that, inshallah, will be easy to understand. So when Imam al-Ghazali starts with the introduction, he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. So I'll just read to you the introduction, basically. He says that Allah, glory be to the One Most High, deserves all our praise as He created everything that exists. And then He made everything in the perfect size and shape. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the one He loves most dearly, and He gave him a pure character. And then he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows some people to copy the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that they too can also be pure and can be raised higher. And then there are others who are actually stopped from copying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they may be brought lower, subhanAllah. So then he says, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send many blessings and peace upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the chief of all his messengers, and upon his family. So he then goes on to say that the way that we act on the outside shows what we're really like on the inside. He says that the parts of our body only move because of the way that we think. So for example, if you're angry inside, then your arm and your fist might show it by hitting someone, right? So you actually behave according to your inner character. And he says that we behave well if we listen and then act upon the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And then our actions actually show the true feelings that we have within our hearts. So if our hearts are filled with the divine light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this light starts to shine upon our body parts, and we start to shine with good deeds rather than bad deeds. So for example, if you have humility in your heart, meaning that you don't believe that you're better than everyone else, then your body will also start to act in a humble way. And he says that if you do not have that divine light in your heart, then you will not act in the beautiful way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Okay, so he also mentions that he decided to write this book only about the beautiful character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that he's used lots of hadith narrations, but he didn't list in the text the chain of narrators of the hadith because it would become too long to read and everyone would get bored. He literally says that, that people would get irritated if he started writing the whole list of the chain of narrations. He says that when you collect together all the perfect manners and behavior of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it really helps you to have true belief, because then we see for ourselves his incredibly noble and beautiful character. And every part of his sallallahu alaihi wasallam's perfect character shows us that he is the best creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is the highest amongst all people, and he is the most magnificent. And when we see, you know, all of this evidence, if you like, brought together in one place, and you see all the different parts of his character, then you really can see very clearly, you know, that he is nothing but the highest amongst people. He says that along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's character, he also mentions what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked like. He mentions the miracles that have been mentioned in the hadith, which show how noble he was. And he hopes, he says in the introduction that he hopes that when people read this, that they will, it will remove the earplugs from the ears of people who don't believe he's a prophet. So that's his intention, is to get people to really understand and see how, subhanAllah, this man could only be a prophet because his character was so perfect. He then says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who allows a person to copy the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beautiful behavior and manners. So that means it's a great honor for us to be able to actually emulate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a huge gift and a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, also it's a gift for us to be able to follow the other rules of guidance that we find in our religion. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who shows the way to those who are worried, and he is the one who answers the prayers of those who need help. So if we seek guidance, and if we are able to act upon the guidance of the Quran, then act upon the character and emulate the character of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we will find our way out from worry, and we will find the help that we need, inshallah. So then he says that the first thing he will do in the first chapter is that he will use the verses from the Quran and show how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refined the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's character. And then he says after that, he will tell us how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always did what was right and fair. Then he will tell us about his manners and his behavior. Then he will tell us about how he spoke and his sense of humor. Then about his manners when it came to food. Then about the way he dressed. Then about how forgiving he was, though sometimes he would show disapproval. Then he will tell us how he turned away from things he didn't like, about how generous and open-hearted he was, about his great courage, about his humility, and then about how he physically looked, and finally about his incredible miracles and the signs of his truthfulness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and grant him peace. Okay. So that is actually the introduction of the book, inshallah. Okay, so chapter one is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refined or perfected the character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one he subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen and most dearly loves. So it's so beautiful at the beginning because he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray and continually beg that he be given ethical behavior. So meaning that he would constantly pray to be fair, to be just, to have morality, all the things that we want to achieve. He himself, as a messenger of God, was praying for that himself. So it says that he would pray and continually beg that he be given ethical character. And he used to say in his prayers, O Allah, beautify my physical form and my ethical character. And he would say, make me shun wicked character traits. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his prayer by revealing the Quran to him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam followed exactly what the Quran said. Sa'd ibn Hisham said, I visited Aisha radiallahu anha, and I asked her about the ethical character of Allah's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she said, don't you read the Quran? And I said, yes, I do. And she said, the ethical character of God's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Quran. So what this means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was teaching The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many noble and good qualities which we find mentioned in the Quran. So in the same way, when we're reading the Quran and we read these ayat, we are also being taught directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how to refine our character in the same way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being refined of his character as well. The difference between him and us is possibly that he took it on straight away, whereas for us it takes time for us to develop these qualities. So he mentions many ayat in the Quran. So the ayat I will mention as it's translated, and then I will also further translate it in simple English, inshallah, for us to understand more effectively. So in Surah 7, ayah 199, it says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us and telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take the course of forgiveness and command what is righteous and turn away from the ignorant ones. So what this means is that we should forgive. So forgive means that someone's wronged you and you have it in your heart to forgive them. Right? Command what is righteous. So I'm always trying to make sure that whatever is going on around you is good. And ignore those who don't behave in the right way because they don't follow the knowledge given by God. Okay, the next ayah says, Verily God commands justice and magnanimity and giving to the near of kin, and he forbids immorality, wickedness, and infringement. This is Surah 16, Ayah 90. Okay, so this means be just, be generous, give to your relatives, be giving to your relatives. Don't behave badly, meaning don't be indecent, don't be cruel. And don't break the law or agreements that you have made between you. Okay, so he's mentioning all of these Quranic ayat, right, that have taught the Prophet of how to behave and are teaching us how to behave. Okay, so next. And show forbearance over what befalls you, for verily that is the most resolute recourse in resolving affairs. This is 31, Surah 31, Ayah 17. So what does that mean, right? Be patient when something bad or difficult happens to you. Be patient when something bad or difficult happens to you, as that is the way for things to get better quickly. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that patience is actually going to be the fastest way for you to resolve the situation. The next ayah is, so forgive them and overlook them. Verily, God loves the magnanimous. And this is Surah 42, Ayah 43. Forgive and overlook people's faults, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves people who are generous towards others. The next ayah. And let them excuse and pardon. Do you not desire that God forgive you? Surah 24, Ayah 22. So what that means is try to find good reasons for why someone may have hurt your feelings. So give people excuses. Try to think of the reasons why they may have done that to you, so that you can find it in your heart to forgive them. And if you do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also forgive you. So there's so many things here about forgiveness, right? And especially at this time in the last 10 days, when we're seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, it's a really important reminder for us to find it in our own hearts to forgive others so that Allah will forgive us, inshallah. Okay, the next one's really great. Fend off with what is better. For thereupon the one between you and whom there was enmity becomes a bosom friend. Surah 41, ayah 34. Okay, so what does that mean? So how do you stop someone from being mean? Instead of responding to them by being mean in return, be nice instead. You will find that someone you thought was your enemy will become your best friend. SubhanAllah. Okay, there's two more. And those who control their anger and forgive people, and God loves the magnanimous. This is Surah 3, Ayah 134. So don't be angry and forgive people as God loves people who are generous to other people. Okay, this is the last ayah that he mentions here. Avoid much of suspicion, for indeed some of suspicion is a sin. And do not spy, and do not let it be that some of you backbite another. So this is Surah 49, Ayah 12. So this means that sometimes you can be right to be suspicious, right? So we know that sometimes you say, okay, I've got to go by my gut. I have this feeling that there's something not right. So he's not saying that that's wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that sometimes you can be right to be suspicious. However, most of the time, being suspicious is not a good thing. So try to avoid it. And don't spy on people. And don't speak badly about people when they're not there. Right? Don't backbite. Okay, so then Imam al-Ghazali tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us all to realize that He is the one who made us, and He is the one who gives us everything that we have. And He sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to remind people only to believe in Him and not to do anything that will hurt others. And that's the kind of the crux of it, right? And Imam al-Ghazali tells us here that instead of listening to the Prophet, some of the people in his town did the opposite. Then instead of believing in him, they decided to fight against him. And they even hurt him. And they broke his teeth and made him bleed. And this was at the time of Uhud, in the Battle of Uhud. It says that the Prophet was, of course, extremely upset when this happened to him. And he was very upset that people could act this way, that they could, you know, make a prophet bleed, basically. And he said that, you know, how could people ever be successful if they behaved this way? So the quotation is, how shall a people be successful who stain the face of their prophet with blood, even as he calls them to their Lord? So obviously the Prophet at that time had reason to be upset. But imagine that even though the Prophet had reason to be upset and hurt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want the Prophet Muhammad to judge those people, his enemy, even though they acted so badly towards him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet that he had no say in the matter. So I think this is mentioned in the Quran, in the verses of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has no say in the matter. That means that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will decide who will be successful. So even at that moment when the Prophet, you know, was hurt and had a right to feel upset, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was reminding him never to judge anyone. So we can see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was refining and perfecting the Prophet's character many times in this way through the verses in the Quran. SubhanAllah. So imagine we see, we don't like getting told off, we don't like getting criticized ever, none of us do. Imagine that Prophet was being refined, in the verses of the Quran for all of us to see. SubhanAllah. So it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Prophet Muhammad to be a model of perfect character by advising him how to improve, which we see in the verse of the Quran. And once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had helped him to perfect his character, then the Prophet's inner light shone onto all of creation, the people, the animals, and all of the world. And for that reason, the Prophet Muhammad said, I have been sent to perfect the nobilities of ethical character, which means that if we copy his actions and behavior, then we can work on perfecting our character too. And this is so beautiful because after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had perfected the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's character, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself praised the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, and indeed, surely you are upon a magnificent character. So Imam al-Ghazali says, look how kind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He gives a blessing and then he praises it. So lovely, mashallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also explains to us that he loves people of good character and he doesn't like people of low character. So then after this, there are two hadith mentioned, which talk about, it gives a whole list actually of good character traits. And the first one is a hadith mentioned by Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And he basically says that a Muslim should always show kindness to someone in need. So, even if someone doesn't care about the reward he's going to get, or he doesn't care about being punished, for not doing it, he says that every Muslim should have good character because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And this will be a person's salvation. So there's a man who asked Hazrat Ali if he heard this directly from the Prophet. And Hazrat Ali said, yes, and what is better than it, meaning a good character? And then he tells the story of what happened. So there was a time when the Muslims had captured the clan of Tayyi. So the clan is a group of people from the same family. And there was a female captive from amongst the group, and she stood up and she said, oh Muhammad, would you consider setting me free so that the other Arab tribes don't mock me on my misfortune? Because indeed I am the daughter of the chief of my people. My father protected those he loved, and he always comforted people who were in trouble. He fed the hungry, he gave out food, he greeted everyone in peace, and he never said no to anyone who asked him for help. And I am the daughter of Hatim al-Tayyi. And the Prophet replied to her, O female captive, you have truly described a believer, the character of a believer. If your father was a Muslim, you would have prayed for God's mercy on him. So he told him to free this lady, as her father used to love good character. And God loves the people who have noble character. And then Abu Burda bin Nayr radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of God, God loves those of good character. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded that no one enters the garden of paradise unless he is of noble character. Then Mu'adh ibn Jabal said that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surrounded Islam with the qualities of goodness of character and good actions. Among these are being good and polite to people around you. So there's a whole long list here, okay? And obviously I've simplified the language, which is in the text, okay? So let's look at all of these, mashallah, that I mentioned. There's two long hadith to end with all of the things that I mentioned, many, many good, virtuous characteristics. So this is hadith of the Prophet. So among the qualities of goodness of character and good actions are being good and polite to people all around you, doing good deeds, being a kind and pleasant friend, encouraging others to do what is right, giving food to people, spreading greetings of peace, visiting those who are sick. And it's mentioned, which I think is so important, it's mentioned, it shouldn't matter whether they are good or bad people. So it doesn't matter what you think of that person. If they're sick, you should go and visit them. SubhanAllah. Going to the funeral of a Muslim, having a pleasant conversation with everyone, whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim, which is mentioned, showing respect to the elderly, going to places where you are invited for food and inviting others for food, being forgiving, help in mending relationships between people, be extremely generous and big-hearted, stop yourself from being angry. And then it says, keep away from what Islam says is wrong when it comes to certain things. So this doesn't mean that everything about these things is wrong. It's saying there are elements of it which are wrong. In frivolity, meaning having fun, right? So you can have fun in a halal way, you can have fun in a haram way, right? So keep away from what is bad about that. Keep away from what is bad about singing, certain aspects that we know, elements of singing, where you have bad language, or you have, we all know there are elements of that whole world which are not good. Even in playing stringed musical instruments, there could be elements of that which are wrong. And then he says, what is outright wrong, well, not outright wrong, well, he says, seeking revenge. Being mean and aggressive, obviously stay away from these things. Lying, backbiting, miserliness, greed. Greed is a big one in Ramadan, right? Harshness. Deceiving people. Cheating. Slandering others, meaning saying untrue things about other people and making them look bad in front of others. Being a bad friend. Cutting off your relationship with your relative. Bad manners. Arrogance, which is basically believing you're better than others and acting as though you are. Pride. Vanity. Always wanting everything your way. Acting as though you're better than others, which we've covered. Indecency, swearing, being hateful and envious, not being dependable, taking what isn't yours, and being aggressive and mean. The very last hadith of this chapter. Anas radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always told his friends, and remember this is the gist of the hadith, right? This isn't word for word, okay? Anas radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always told his friends, so always told the companions, his companions, to follow any good advice and fine characteristic that they saw in a person. So if the Prophet, you know, if they were in a situation where they saw someone who was giving really good counsel or they saw someone who had a really fine way of behaving, the Prophet ﷺ would always encourage them to take that on board, to adopt that characteristic. And it says that he always warned them to stay away from bad character traits or disgraceful behaviour. So I think this is really important because it's sort of like what we're doing in our life, you know, with our, especially if you have kids or you have younger siblings. And as you're going through life, you know, there are things that happen to people, bad things happen, good things happen. And it's always a learning moment, right? Like if your children or anyone is going through something where someone's behaving in a really disgraceful manner, it's a reminder that don't behave like that. You know, stay away from that. Don't behave like that. Because you can see when, especially when you see it in real life, it hits home that this is not the way to be. So you can sometimes learn more from difficult situations than you even do from good situations. But then when you see someone also who's behaving in a beautiful way, then remind them, oh my God, mashallah, you know, let's take on that. Let's try to do that as well. So this is what's mentioned in this hadith. Now the Prophet ﷺ always did that. He always reminded his companions to either take on good qualities or keep away from bad qualities. And it says that, you know, he was acting upon, you know, as we've already mentioned in Surah 16, Ayah 90, that verily God commands justice and magnanimity and giving to near of kin and forbids immorality and iniquity, meaning immoral or grossly unfair behaviour. So this is what the Prophet was acting upon. Oh, there's one last hadith here. I thought it was all one and the same, but they're two separate ones. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger told him, and so we have another list here. Be mindful of God, which is so important because that's basically taqwa, which is the purpose of Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. Purpose of fasting is to have taqwa, which is being mindful of Allah, meaning having Allah in your mind all the time. So Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to be mindful of God, speak the truth, keep to your agreements, be trustworthy, care for your neighbor, be kind to orphans, be soft-spoken, spread greetings of peace, do good work. This is really beautiful. Have less expectations. So minimize what you expect to get from other people. Be constant in your faith. Seek to understand the Quran. Have a desire and a wish for the afterlife. Be concerned about the account taking on the day of Qiyamah. And be humble. It says, I forbid you to say, this is also interesting, I forbid you to say bad things or negative things against a person of good judgment, or lie to those who are truthful, or to obey those who do wrong, or to disobey a ruler who is just, or to corrupt the earth. We know that that covers so many things, like, you know, we've caused climate change because of overconsumption and greed. And then he ends by saying, and I encourage you to be mindful of God at every tree, rock, and place that you live. And then you ask forgiveness for what you have done wrong. And if they are hidden things, then ask for that repentance in secret. And if they are public things, then ask for forgiveness openly. This is the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us and guided us to the nobilities of ethical character and to the refinement of virtuous behaviour. Alhamdulillah. So that is the introduction and chapter one of Kitab Adab al-Ma'isha wa Akhlaq al-Nabuwa, the Book of Prophetic Ethics and Courtesies of Living. And inshallah, we will continue with chapter two tomorrow. But before we leave, inshallah, Nahla is online and she's going to do a dua for us. Nahla, are you there?
Assalamu alaikum, do you hear me?
Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullah.
Today I'm making like a dua that we do every week because unfortunately I'm not at home, I couldn't get there on time. But inshallah, starting from tomorrow, I try to do dua like we did last year.
Inshallah. So I think on the odd nights we'll do a special
yes.
one. And on the night we won't keep it too long so that we can go and do that in worship, inshallah. Did you post on the group, Nahla, or should we just go back?
If you can go back to the previous one because I'm not at home. I can repost if you want, but I don't mind. I just like to repost it. It's easy. If it's easy for you, I can just repost it. Hold on.
If you don't mind reposting it, then I don't have to scroll it up. That would be great.
I'll just repost it away.
Thank you.
Okay, done.
If you want to, on the group, Nahla has posted the du'as that she's going to read, and there's the Arabic and the English translation. So those of you who may be new on the group, Nahla will read the Arabic, and then after that, I will read the English translation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على وعلى آل إبراهيم العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت خلقتنا ونحن عبيدك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا نعوذ بك من شر ما سمعنا نبوء لك بنعمتنا عليك نعمتك علينا نبوء بذنبنا فاغفر لنا فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا اللهم ارفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم انا نعوذ بك من غل لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها اللهم انا نعوذ بك نعوذ بك أن نضل أو نضل أو نزل أو نزل أو نظلم أو نظلم أو نشهل أو نشهل علينا اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وعملنا من الرياء وأنسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرام واهدنا بفضلك عن سواك اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل ونعوذ بك من الجهد والفقر ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال اللهم اجعل لنا نورا في قلوبنا ونورا في سمعنا واجعل لنا نورا في أبصارنا واجعل لنا نورا عن أيماننا ونورا عن شمائلنا واجعل لنا نورا من بين أيدينا ونورا من خلفنا وزدنا نورا اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا اكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا اللهم اجعل همنا الاخره اللهم انك عفو كريم تحب العفو اللهم انك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم انك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب
العالمين. I seek refuge in Allah from Satan the accursed. Praise be to Allah, much good and blessed praise is our Lord loves and is pleased with. All the praises and thanks be to Allah who has guided us to this, and never could we have found guidance were it not that Allah had guided us indeed. O Allah, send your salah upon Muhammad and upon the family of Muhammad, as you sent your salah upon Ibrahim and upon the family of Ibrahim, and send your blessings upon Muhammad and upon the family of Muhammad, as you sent your blessings upon Ibrahim and upon the family of Ibrahim. Among all people, verily, you are most crazy, most glorious. O Allah, you are my Lord, and none has the right to be worshipped except you. You created me, and I am your servant, and I abide by your covenant and promise as best as I can. And I seek refuge in you from the evil which I have committed, and I acknowledge your favour upon me, and I acknowledge my sins. So forgive me, for verily none can forgive sin except you. O Allah, we ask you for a knowledge that is of benefit, a good provision, and deeds that will be accepted. O Allah, grant us benefit in what you have taught us. Teach us useful knowledge and increase us in knowledge. O Allah, open for me my chest and ease my task for me, and make loose the knot for my tongue that they may understand my speech. O Allah, we seek refuge with you from knowledge that does not bring benefit, and from a heart that does not fear you, and from a soul that is not satisfied, and from a supplication that is not answered. O Allah, we seek refuge in you lest we stray or be led astray, or slip or be made to slip, or cause injustice or suffer injustice, or do wrong or have wrong done to us. O Allah, purify our hearts from hypocrisy, our actions from vain show, our tongues from falsehood, and our eyes from wrongful glances. For you know the surreptitious looks of the eyes and what is concealed in the breasts. O Allah, suffice us with what you have allowed instead of what you have forbidden, and make us independent of all others besides you. O Allah, we seek refuge in you from anxiety and sorrow. We seek refuge in you from incapacity and slackness. We seek refuge in you from miserliness and cowardice. And we seek refuge in you from being overcome by debt and being overpowered by men. O Allah, give us light in our hearts, and give us light in our hearing, and give us light in our sight, and give us light on our right and light on our left, and give us light in front of us and light behind us, and increase us in light. O Turner of the hearts, affirm our hearts upon your religion. O Allah, do not make the worldly life our greatest concern, nor the limit of our knowledge. O Allah, make the hereafter our primary concern. Allah and his angels send blessings upon the Prophet. O you who believe, send your blessings upon him and salute him with all respect. And the last of our call will be, praise be to Allah, Lord of the world. Okay, alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair to everyone for attending. If you would like to say anything or ask any questions, you may do so if you want to unmute. Otherwise, inshallah, we will be continuing every day. Assalamu alaikum to Sabah, who I've just seen on the Ansariya, and Sahar. And inshallah, please, obviously, all of you are in our du'as, and please keep asking your du'as. And apologies for Nahla's sound. So inshallah, from tomorrow, we will try to make sure that the sound for the du'a is better. And we'll tailor it also more to the odd nights, inshallah. So see you tomorrow. Take care, everyone. No worries about inshallah. See you soon. Just reading the chat messages. No worries.
Jazakallah khairun, Lubna. It was really nice, mashallah. And a great start to the last 10 nights. Some very useful points as well. Jazakallah khairun.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Rifat. Jazakallah khair to you too for attending.
Wa yakum. Looking forward to spending the next 10 nights together.
Inshallah. Inshallah. All right. Take care, everyone.
Assalamualaikum. Assalamualaikum.